Fancy seeing you here. I'm your host, Allie Ray, a serial entrepreneur and mom who loves building brands and raising babies. This is a podcast about being on brand and in season in every facet of your life. Each week, we dive into topics around business and brand development while sprinkling some hard-earned life lessons in there too. So if you love a good brand and a good breakdown, buckle up and come along with me as I sort of seamlessly switch between major life roles in an attempt to fulfill all the life dreams of a type A Enneagram 3 millennial small business owner who wants to help other entrepreneurs and raise good humans. This is the Allie Ray Haney Show. Welcome back to another episode of the Allie Ray Haney Show. I am your host, Allie Ray, and we are jumping into the recap of night 3 of the Escape Conference. The Escape Conference is a conference for female creative entrepreneurs in their growth phase, and my co-founder and I, Cassie O'Driscoll, we did our very first inaugural Escape Conference and hosted that in Louisville, Kentucky this past April. So each night we recorded a synopsis or basically an after action report of each day and each evening's activities. So if you haven't listened to Escape Conference night 1 or night 2 recap yet, I highly suggest you go back and take a listen to that. We will be building on everything that we've said thus far in this final episode. So without further ado, enjoy.
Hey everybody. It is Thursday, and we are recording this in our lovely hotel because we couldn't recap night 3 due to the fact that I had a lot of rosé.
I had a lot of bourbon.
Well, I had bourbon too.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I mixed yesterday. Ooh. I was at, like, because I had a mint julep. I had
That's like a number a seltzer. One no-no for me.
I usually don't.
I had a sip of rosé just to say I had a run for the
rosé. That's why I was doing that whole thing. And then I think Fawn brought a bucket of wine. Somebody put a bucket
of... Oh, that was your mom. But yeah, she was so excited about that idea.
I loved it.
Mostly because she didn't have to serve it anymore.
Yeah, it was great. She put the bucket out and I just refilled myself. And the only reason, it was the closest thing. I didn't overthink it. So anyway, let's get into yesterday. The second full day kicked off. We did yoga in the morning. There was another huge rainstorm from 3 to 5 a.m. Soaked everything, sopping wet. So we made the quick decision to do yoga in the conference space. And I think people were unbothered by the fact that it wasn't outside. I don't think, and because I was worried, the aesthetic, the kitchen was right there and breakfast was coming. The conference tables were pushed up against the wall, but it was raining. People don't they're not oh, you didn't have a better rain plan. You know, I didn't think that there was any negativity around that.
No, I didn't think there was either. I think the yoga instructor was happy that they were inside.
Hey everyone, I'm so sorry to interrupt. I just want to take a moment to share a special offer from a tool I personally love and use, Trello. As someone who values organization and efficiency, I find Trello to be an incredibly versatile and user-friendly project management tool. It helps businesses and individuals stay on top of their tasks, collaborate seamlessly, and achieve their goals more efficiently. It's an essential tool for anyone looking to bring structure and clarity to their work and personal life. As a special treat for our dedicated listeners, when you sign up for Trello using our referral code, trello.com/CassieLane/recommend, you'll receive 1 month free. This fantastic bonus will help you jumpstart your organizational journey. Don't miss out on this amazing opportunity to revolutionize your project management and elevate your productivity. Visit trello.com, that's trello.com/CassieLane/recommend to claim your free month and start experiencing the benefits of Trello today.
And we're back. You may have heard a knock at the door. That's because our hotel has a pool and Allie didn't have a swimsuit. So we had one delivered because that's the stage of exhaustion that we're at. That is a cute suit. It's from Walmart. It's nice. Swipe up. I'm just kidding. We don't have that feature.
Not that cool yet. But we did gain over 70 followers in the last 3 days, thanks to Claire's social media badassery.
We've had four just since brunch.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's forwarded everything. We shared it.
It's impressive.
It's mostly Angelica.
Basically, yeah, we should be thanking her 100%.
Does Angelica have social media content creation package? Is that part of her master class or her?
You have. Not, she trains you to do it yourself. Like she does. I don't know that she does it
for you.
I think that she hosts like a co-working hours, but and you batch your content during the co-working hours. That's specifically what they're for.
I see.
So after yoga, as we were just saying, like we were not prepared to buy like 20 yoga mats, not knowing that 20 people were going to be at yoga. So we used towels, and it was not great, but it's fine. We did put it on people's packing list, and they made the decision not to bring it.
Yeah, a lot of people were flying though.
Yeah, like it didn't make sense.
I'm not taking up valuable suitcase space.
Yeah, here. Danny drove, so it made sense that she'd like put hers on the car.
Yeah. Towel worked fine for me.
Yeah, me too.
10 minutes I was there.
Exactly. I did like one move and I was like, and yeah, I'm tired.
I will say that the people that attended though, I had a couple people come up to me and just say like it was really nice to have like a calm moment amidst, you know, a lot of moving and shaking that we did.
So. Nice.
Looking back on this, like we should have had at least a couple yoga mats, but our instructor like adapted. She did what she needed to do to get the job done, and I appreciate her flexibility. And just a little note for next year, if we offer yoga, either have the person who's doing the yoga bring the mats or find another solution. But she did a great job considering the circumstances.
It doesn't matter whether it's like one person in the room that you're serving or 100 people in the room that you're serving, like it was still
serving. Yeah, she did well.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was still serving.
I'm screaming.
This podcast is just all going to be about Angela.
Yeah.
Or Angelica, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Angelica is one of our attendees. She owns Pompey Portraits and Angelica Pompey Education. She's based out of Jacksonville, Florida. Look, I know her pitch so much because she was so steady in saying it so many times.
Yeah, she's lovely.
Yeah.
And hilarious and joyful.
Yeah, her energy is...
is great.
What's the word? Contagious.
Yeah. Electric.
A well-rested Cassie is cracking up at us being like, she is so energetic. She is contagious. We were so tired, you guys. Like, so tired. But yes, Angelica has all those things, but like with a lot more enthusiasm behind them.
So after... after yoga, Claire went back into the depths of hell to prepare for breakfast.
Like food.
But we made like the executive decision to basically just buffet style the rest of the meals. And I think that relieved quite a bit of pressure.
It was a game changer.
Yeah.
Absolute game changer.
Yeah. Do you remember when we were going to do every single dinner on white
real
plates? Yeah.
Yeah, I do remember that. We did end up doing... Didn't we do a lunch? I saw you carrying lunches down on real plates, right?
Yeah, we did the spaghetti one.
Yeah. Was that just because we didn't have other ones? So you were like, I should see these. Got it. Yeah, because like... Okay. Let's unpack the easy catering. I know this is like... we have talked about this offline, but we need to bring it up again.
It's a niche topic, though.
Yeah, so just... like, if anybody's listening to this for like... how to plan a conference or like what to do. I'm going to tell you what not to do.
You guys, I would typically leave this in, but as we know from the other recaps, catering was a horrible experience for us, and I'm just not going to beat the dead horse. So to save you the heartache of having to listen to this for a third time, I'm cutting it all.
After breakfast, we did, what was first? Oh, hot seats. We headed to the cinema suite for hot seats. Allie, I'm gonna let you take the lead on this part because I think you definitely like this was your baby.
Yeah, hot seats was something that I was excited about from the jump. I have actually never been to a conference or event like this, which I guess is the point. That's what we were trying to do, is to do something different. But I've also never been a part of a mastermind where you have like pointed attention at your business, and so one of the things that we wanted to do was to be able to give a few of our attendees that pointed attention, focus solely on their business, their needs, their problems, to find solutions that would fit them. And so we had four different attendees stand up to present, and each attendee had a 30-minute block. And I was kind of a little bit worried that 30 minutes would be too long, but it felt just right to me. Each presentation was anywhere from like 10 to 15 minutes long, with 10 to 15 minutes, maybe a little bit more, of feedback from everyone in the room. And the people that were in the room were both speakers and fellow attendees. So the topics ranged from, well, actually, let me back up. How I posed it to them when they signed up to be in the hot seat position was that I wanted them to present a problem in their business or a new service offering that they wanted to flesh out, and we would give them advice. Well, we had topics that ran the gamut, from one attendee who is in the process of selling her business after having that business for 14 years, and she was looking to see what her next steps should be, if she should become a freelance designer, what should she design after being in the wedding world for 14 years. One person had just revamped all of their service offerings and really wanted feedback on how to get more leads, lead generation. One person, don't you dare fall asleep on me.
I'm not falling asleep. I'm listening.
Both of you. I'm sitting here looking at the wall talking, and I look at both of them, and they're both asleep.
No, I'm not asleep.
I'm just resting my eyes.
I'm listening. One of you is asleep.
You just start snoring.
I was actually thinking, because I was relaxed, I could like feel myself relaxing, and I was like, if I twitched, I was like waiting for myself to like twitch. Anyway, I am awake. I'm listening.
I cannot describe how tired I was. I was trying so hard, and it wasn't that I wasn't interested in what she was talking about. I was just so tired.
One person was trying to figure out, after having a successful portion of her or branch of her business, she wanted to start one to two additional branches to, what's the word? What's the phrase?
It's not spread out, but, she wants additional streams.
Diversify the income streams. Sorry. Yeah. I was really, our brains are totally dead. And then the final person was like, she did have a new service offering, and she was using this platform as market research. So she had asked feedback on the name of the new program. She wanted to know what pain points there were, if any of the people in the audience matched her ideal client. So she was asking all the right questions, and each of those attendees got to have feedback forms from everyone in the audience. I collected them at the end and handed it to the person who presented in the hot seat position. And so they have that tangible advice and feedback to be able to go back and apply that to their businesses. And it was just really cool that we saw some pretty big breakthroughs.
Yeah.
I don't think that's our
place to share, but and not just professional breakthroughs. There was like, you know, personal life breakthroughs and you know, things like that. So I thought it was really good. I do think that, and I told you this that day, I think we need to implement like a call on system, because we had a few quiet people and a few outspoken people, and I think it may have been a disservice to just let it be a free for all, like, right, a little bit, because I do think other people have things to say, but when there are outspoken people in the room, they usually like accidentally take over. Like, so I think that next time we need to have, like, during the Q&A, it needs to be like a raise your hand situation or like something that allows them to have a little bit more control of who they're getting their feedback from.
I will say yes and no, because from my background in the classroom, sometimes the people that don't speak up, they don't want to speak up.
That's what I'm saying, like a raise hand though. Like,
but that's why I had the sheets there, so that they could write down their ideas and still disseminate those ideas to the person without having to put themselves in a vulnerable position if they didn't want to be.
Right, they wouldn't raise their hand. But I do think that there were some people in the room that had things to say, but didn't get a word in edgewise.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I mean. Like, not that they were, like, embarrassed to speak in public. I think that they wanted to talk, but I was one of the loud ones. And, like, I didn't shut the fuck up. So, and I kept telling myself to shut up, and I was not doing a very good job. So I wish that somebody had put a rule in place that made me raise my hand.
Okay. Okay, well, next time you can put that rule in place.
And as I was, like, I know, and I had no self-control. I have no chill. I get really excited about that stuff. Like, I love the mastermind vibe. I love brainstorming. So I was, like, talking out of excitement. With very little self-control.
Call me the self-aware queen. So it's true. I couldn't keep my mouth shut. And I do get excited about this stuff. That's quite literally why I have a podcast, to do that type of stuff too. So thanks for being here.
Yeah. So I think that that's how, I think that we can improve that a little bit.
I was having trouble not cutting people off, but like transitioning from one person to the next, because it really felt like everyone was so active in it.
Yeah, that happened the whole conference. We had to cut things short every single time.
Yeah,
I think on the topic of you saying like you're having trouble like wrapping it up, we did not utilize our MC as well as we could have. Like,
no, we didn't. But I think that was also my need for control.
And that's what and mine too. And so I think that.
And there were also a lot of game time decisions that, yes, we had a plan.
Yeah.
But when the weather was kind of going in and out every single day.
Right. And almost like each meal. So like when we were making the decisions, like they were normally based around like meal times and stuff. We were making those calls. But I'm talking like in Angelica, she's a great MC. She should have been the one like feeding the conversation or moving the conversation along.
Oh, yeah.
Or like ending the hot seat. Like she was in the room. She was standing in the back. Like,
yeah. And she kept looking at me like, do you want me to go? Do you want me to go?
Yeah.
It wasn't her like not doing her job.
No. It was us.
Totally me taking
it. Yeah. Well, and I did the same thing. Like, you know, last night I went like table to table and like told them how to check out. That should have been Angelica. Like, I think that this was our baby, and we didn't realize how much control we wanted.
Yeah.
Like, but I think moving forward, it would be in our best interest to, like, utilize those who are professionals. Like,
and it was also, I think, a little bit of pride on my part. Like, the hot seat was, like you said,
it was
such
so special
baby
to you, yeah.
That, it, like, it felt like it was bringing back, like...
Teacher stuff?
Yeah, teacher stuff. Like, at the very end, I didn't plan on giving people like one final question to answer.
Yeah, that wasn't
at the
really
end.
I saw that it wasn't on the sheet, so I was like, oh, this is a game day. Like, she felt this in her soul.
I did. And it was so funny because we have two Angelicas in attendance. One Angelica is the one that was presenting in the hot seat, and the other Angelica was the MC moderator. And Angelica attendee, she came up to me, asked me afterwards, she was like, was that always part of the plan, or did you just kind of do that? And I was like, I just kind of did it.
So what she is talking about, Claire, because Claire was probably plating a meal somewhere.
No, I think she was. I think you were sloughing waters upstairs for us. Because the air in the cinema room cut off somehow, and it was like 80 degrees in there with 25 people.
And we tried to turn a fan on, but it was so loud that we had to turn the fan off. So. And it wasn't like nobody complained, but people like needed water. Like, and
it was, we were parched.
And I will say, everyone was so, when we did runs to the grocery store, they were so fast, except for that day. Like,
I don't know why.
I didn't even know that you guys had done runs to the grocery store. That's how quick you were.
Except for this, it felt so painfully long, and I was.
Yeah, like I called you and I was like, hey, can you send those waters up? I never expected you to be like, they're not back yet.
Yeah, they're still gone. It was so painful.
Yeah, so what she did at the end, they had their asks. So, like, can you help me? Like, is this a good name? Whatever they're talking about.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it was like, this or that. Like, should I do this or should I do that? These are the things I'm thinking of. And she would say, like, pick which one. Like, tell her, like, if it were you, what would you do? So, like, it wasn't just them saying it out into open air. Like, she prompted everybody in the room to make the decision for the person talking.
And did they do that, like,
on a piece of paper?
Okay.
No, there was like a piece of paper. Allie had printed out the hot sheet forms that you put your name at the top. You said if you were their ideal client or not. That's another thing that Angelica's feedback. She said that 75% of the responses said that they were her ideal client.
That was one of my goals, was to get people leads from being in a hot seat.
So she had, like, out of everybody in the room,
she left with close to 15 leads.
Isn't that crazy?
That is insane.
Isn't that so crazy?
Yeah.
So that was like a really cool part of the whole thing.
I want to take a moment and talk to you about Dubsado, an incredible all-in-one business management platform designed to help you streamline your processes, elevate your client experience, and save time on the tasks that matter the most. Dubsado offers a wide range of features, including client relation management, project tackling, invoicing, and so much more. It's the perfect tool to help you grow and manage your business with ease. And because we love Dubsado and our listeners so much, we have a special offer just for you. Use code CassieLane at checkout to get 20% off your first month or year with Dubsado. That's right. You're going to get 20% off when you sign up and you use the code CassieLane. That's CassieLane. Don't miss out on this amazing opportunity to simplify your business and focus on what truly matters. Visit dubsado.com, dubsado.com, and use code CassieLane today. Now, let's get back to the conversation.
Hi, we're back. We had some technical difficulties with my computer, and while I was rebooting, I fell asleep. So we are actually coming to you from the hotel on Friday, so we're full day out. I fought it more than Allie did, but I didn't really want to do like the whole recap stuff. Like, I just wanted a break. But now I have slept, just period, because I didn't do a lot of sleeping during the conference.
Not only did she sleep, but then she woke up early and tried to start planning 2025.
Yeah, it's crazy what some sleep will do for you.
And then I'm like, no, we're not ready for 2025 yet. We need to soak this in first.
I know, so now we've like switched roles and we're back.
Just exact opposite. Cassie and I are exact opposites in every sense of the way.
And I think that people from the outside might sometimes be like, how the fuck does this work? But it actually works beautifully.
It really does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have also taken some time to crack up about just like little things that happen that like we're just like learning personality traits about each other, and it's probably my favorite part so far. So that's been fun to be like not so exhausted that stuff can be funny, because it wouldn't have been funny if we would have said it in real life. Just like you know, like you and I have hosted so much, or sorry, not hosted so much, but planned so much that we knew like little nuances about each other.
Yeah.
But to like be in the thick of it, and like now I feel like it was like a learning thing and not just like we're never gonna speak to each other again. Because like in the peak of the stress of everything, had we been like, oh, is this how you communicate? It'd been like, fuck off. At least I would have been, if anybody would have done that to me. So
literally, I was too tired to even like
be like humor the conversation.
Well, be angry about it. Yeah. Like, take something offensively, like if you want to hate me, then just hate me.
Like, please just hate me. Put me out of my misery. It's fine.
I just need a hamburger and some sleep.
I imagine it's going to be interesting to hear the first half of this from yesterday.
Yeah.
And then hear our, especially my energy level now.
Yeah.
Because I feel like a whole new person.
It's so funny because I didn't know that I had forgotten that we split this between 2 days. And earlier I was like, listen to how tired we sound. And then I was just thinking like, oh my gosh, listen to how awake I sound. And then I'm like, it's going to be funny to see what this is like. And here we are.
So we left off yesterday talking about hot seats and like kind of the rundown of what that looked like. But I think we kind of concluded there.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
So just after hot seats, we had lunch, because the hot seat portion of the day or the event was like the longest time we had people sitting. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to give them some like fresh air and time to go. But I'm going to let you take over what the experience gallery was like, which is what took place right after.
Yeah, we set up during lunch. So the experience gallery was kind of our take on a vendor market meets experiences, like marketing experiences. We had humored a vendor market in the beginning, but it didn't really make much sense for the vendors because our audience was so small. And it just didn't, I didn't like how it flowed. And I actually talked to my mom, and she had just come from a conference. Like, when we made the change, we hadn't made it yet, but I knew I didn't like how it felt. And I talked to my mom about it, and she had just come from a big corporate conference, and they had an experience gallery. She was the one that kind of gave us that idea. Mm-hmm. And then we ran with it in the creativity side of it.
Yeah. One of the things that, you know, we went to Pinterest for some inspiration, and as we were looking through those pins, we stumbled upon this concept called experiential marketing. And once we like understood and realized what that was, we were like, okay, this is the term we were thinking of. Yeah. We just didn't know that it already existed.
Yeah.
And so we took that idea and made it applicable to our audience.
Right. So I renovated an old school phone booth, which was set up throughout the whole conference. And it became like such a thorn in my side because it was more DIY than I anticipated, so I will say that. But what we had that set up for at the Experience Gallery was that I set my computer up and voice memos up, and then we had a Mad Lib podcast pitch for when you want to be a guest on a podcast. So it was just like, my name is blank. This is what I do blank. This is how I can serve your audience. And we had a little script for them pinned up in there, and a mic, and they recorded in voice memo, dropped their name as the title. So we will be sending those people their files so they can use that to send out to people to be on their podcast.
Okay, if you've never done this before, I highly recommend it. Obviously, I've listened back to those voice memos, and I wish more attendees had participated, because I really do think that the few that did this do have a solid audio to send to potential podcasts, and I think it will pay off. So jump into ChatGPT or like whatever your preference is and have them spit out a Mad Lib prompt for you, because it does pay off. And I if I received that for someone wanting to be on my podcast, I would think that it was like so professional and so put together. Highly, highly recommend.
We also had a blind date with a book, which was Allie's baby. She is the business book guru. And she collected books. Claire wrapped them really beautifully. And then Allie used her teacher handwriting to write really pretty on them to say, like, if you need guidance on retirement, pick this one. Pick me if was kind of the thing. And they were all wrapped. So they picked them. They unwrapped them. Getting a little ahead of myself before going through all them. The coolest part of that was 100%. One of our attendees was written in the acknowledgments in one of the books, and another attendee got the book. And I have this picture of Allie and our attendee seeing the acknowledgments in the book and just totally fangirling over the person who was in it. And eventually, she autographed the book, which was just so hilarious and really, really fun. So that was super fun. So that was set up in the middle, on a bookshelf. We had terrible wind that day. So the wind was kind of, something that we had to work through, but overall it wasn't too bad. We had Boss Babe lip colors. So, we had a woman come, and she was able to sell her lip glosses, but she had like all these different, shades, and you would test them out, and, then you could put them on, and, they were long lasting. So it was funny. You kind of put swatches on your hands. So by the end of the experience gallery, everybody had like little color swatches on their hands, which was funny to see.
And it's also nice to see them wearing their new color to dinner that
night. Yeah, yeah. So like I wore my color that night.
Yeah, I think Brittany did too.
Danny did.
And I meant to do mine and
just probably got too busy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know what happened. We hit a wall that between the experience gallery and dinner, and we had to rally because we got really, really tired. Both of us did. So we ended up being a little bit late to dinner.
Yeah. Don't forget Katie though.
Oh no, I'm not done there. Okay. Yeah. So the biggest hit for the experience gallery was 100% a local artist. Her name is Katie Nelson. And she came to sell her prints, but originally we just wanted a local artist there. But when we found her, we saw that she did, watercolor silhouettes. And it's kind of a fad right now in the wedding world to have that as your party favor. You stand in front of her, your faces aren't in it, but they get the highlight, they get the touch points of your outfit and like the color scheme and how you wear your hair. And that was a huge hit. I think almost everybody got at least one print. Some people did like the bestie that they had met there or they had come with, and then individuals, which is what you and I did. So she was so busy that she ran out of time. Like the experience gallery ended before she had time to finish all the prints. So when we went up to our next thing, which was the masterclass with Brittany, she kept painting, and she painted until Brittany's masterclass was over, which was an hour and a half.
Yeah.
So she spent almost 3 hours painting everybody, while we like did our thing. So that was really cool. And the other cool thing that she did was, you could send her a picture and she would paint a silhouette off your picture. So a couple people did their headshots. Allie and I took our favorite picture of ourselves from the Escape conference. And she painted those for us, which I like brought me to tears. Like they're just really, really cool. Like
personality shots
and just, keepsakes. Like they're a really cool keepsake. And then I,
how cool would it be if we got Katie to come to the next one?
I would love, like, it was such a hit. Like it was so cool. The other thing that she did, which was at the idea, it came from an idea from the, another attendee, is that, on the first night, we were all in ESC brand colors, and we had ESC letters in front of us, and we did a big group photo. And we commissioned her to paint that for us on, I think she said 5x7 or 8x10. She's going to do a little bit bigger. And then we bought the print rights to it so that we have that to give to our attendees if they want to purchase that, or to use in the future for like any marketing pieces, which I'm really excited about that because everybody was in pink and orange that night. Our backdrop was behind us. She said that she would like really focus on making sure those colors were incorporated. So that was just like an overall keepsake for the conference. I'm excited about that. We also had our gumball machine, which, like, can't forget about the gumball machine. I will say we had too many. I wish, okay, let me explain the gumball machine first. We bought a gumball machine on Etsy. There's, like, a gumball, like, who knew there was such a market for gumball machines? Originally intended for a classroom setting for kids, like, when they get awarded, they get a token, and then they get, like, a fun eraser. It's, like, positive reinforcement. We got it and we put like Starburst in it and we put friendship bracelets, but it was all branded. Claire spray painted it last minute. It was intended, it came blue, and Claire was like, no, that's not happening. We're spray painting that.
And that was the best decision.
It was the best decision. We ended up doing, I don't know if you know this, Allie and I did like a photo shoot with the gumball machine. Yeah. And it's like zoned in on the gumball machine and full body, almost like leaning on it and stuff.
And we're both in Escape colors only.
Yeah.
So, oh, can't wait to see those.
Yeah. So we like spent a lot of time like finding where to sit for that. Like, cause we wanted the background to like complement the gumball machine and stuff. So yeah, we like, it got its moment for
good,
sure.
Good, yeah.
Not only that, but the individual containers, like the little snapbooks,
yeah,
containers, Claire was very adamant that we only pick out brand color containers. So it was pink and orange containers, and then the big ticket items.
Yeah,
and it's about to tell.
Yeah, we had some sponsorships from Flowdesk and from Dubsado, and then Allie and I, free brand audit and a free systems audit. They were inside the gumball machine as well, in yellow containers. So people kind of caught on that the yellow ones were the good ones. So they were like, I caught somebody shaking it up, trying to get the yellow ones to fall to the bottom.
I love that for us.
Yeah. But I think that what happened, people just didn't bring a lot of quarters because we didn't tell them what it was for.
Right. So we told people, we made a packing list for the attendees beforehand that included, you know, bring your attire that is themed for each of the three nights, bring a yoga mat for our morning yoga. And then the one like wild card thing was a roll of quarters. And so when attendees got there,
it was so funny. Everything became like, is this what the quarters for?
Like, at one point the cinema room had some old school, like
games, like Pac-Man and things like that.
And so people were like, is this what the quarters are for?
Every time we, like, anything that would ever even remotely be related to a quarter, people want to know if that's what the quarters were for.
And I kept saying, no. Yeah. But the experience gallery was one of the last things to take place.
Right.
And so finally we were like, go get your quarters.
Right. And people did, I mean, there was like a Ziploc bag of quarters. Like there were quarters happening. But our ratio to non, like, big ticket versus big ticket was a little bit off because we didn't get through, the yellow ones didn't come out as quickly.
Right.
And the gumball distributor sells tokens. So in hindsight, I should have bought tokens and then people could have, like, Venmo'd for tokens and they could have just keep putting the tokens in. Because we didn't have enough, people didn't have like enough, they wanted to contribute, but they were like, can we Venmo you? And we didn't have anything to put in the machine to turn it, to get things out. Like, people ran out of like actual physical things to put in it to get the things out.
Okay.
They weren't done participating.
Right.
They just didn't have the means to do it. So that, yeah, that was an oversight on our part. Not an oversight, but just like a lesson learned. We should have had, and we will. I feel like the gumball machine will be making an appearance at every event from this point forward. It is now a part of the team.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and then we had our merch out, and we got to explain our merch and and to just quick overview with that. Allie's dad made us this really cool pegboard backdrop and shelf holder for our merch. So it's kind of like a build your own design, which I loved. We found some inspo online and he knocked it out of the park for us. And the merch that we had, this is funny, like just to dive in a little bit more. We had initially been like, you know, the t-shirts, we were going to get like reusable tote bags, like the ones that you use at a grocery store, you know, sticker, like the stuff that you see at every single conference you've ever been at, like just run of the mill. And I remember like we were right at the deadline. Like if we don't start ordering, nothing's going to get here.
I guess he threw me a curveball and was like, this doesn't feel right. We need to figure something else out.
I was like, I think we need to clear the table and start over. And she was like,
she's like, at least it feel like a boutique.
I was like, we are a boutique conference and this needs to be boutique merch. And
I'm like, first of all, I don't know what that means, Cassie. So you're going to have to give me a little bit more direction before I start this Google search with 5,000 tabs open on our computer.
Oh, well, and even further, to further the complications of that, where we landed was FAIRE, which is F-A-I-R-E. If you're not familiar, it's a wholesale website for boutique items. And it was exactly like, once I discovered that, I was like, oh, we're in it. Like, I am very happy about this direction. But I made the account and I was like doing stuff, but when you go to the FAIRE website, you have to sign up to be able to see what they offer. And to sign up, you have to like put in your tax ID. Like, you have to be
legit,
which is great. But I'm saying that to say, like, Allie didn't need to create a FAIRE account because I had created one for us. But so I was screenshotting everything that I found and texting them to her.
I love you, Cassie, but I'm silencing this.
Yeah, but
I will look at every single one, but it was like ding, 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 ding.
Like, because once I found FAIRE, I was like, oh, we're going in. Like, it's happening. And we went in. So we got really cool pins, which were gifted to the attendees.
P-E-N-S.
Yes,
P-E-N-S. Because we also had P-I-N-S.
Yeah.
Pins.
So they got one, and they were pink. They were recycled cardboard, and they said Escape Conference on them. FAIRE also, a lot of places you can customize things. It's not just buying their merchandise.
But you also have the minimums to meet.
Yeah, the big thing is the minimums, which was helpful for us because a lot of them were like, we had to seek ones that had low minimums, but a lot of things came in like sets of 12 and we had around 24 people we needed to get for, so we could get two sets. It simplified a lot as much as it like changed the game when we went that direction. And then we got t-shirts, but we did do, because of timing, we went with a dropship company, which we were very familiar with. We had already uploaded all that stuff. 'Cause there was a point that we were going to release merch
pre-event to try to do revenue generating stuff, and it just never came to life. Because it didn't make sense. Like, why would you buy something you've never been to before? Mm-hmm. That was like one of our desperation things that we spent probably way too many hours on doing, and then did anything with it.
For sure. But then that
it made it way easier when we were ready to buy. And we had hats, and they were orange on orange. Those actually came from Etsy. They said the full word escape. And oddly enough, our best seller, our hats flew off the shelves. And it was just so funny. Like, we liked all the merch, but we were like worried that the hats weren't going to sell. And then they were the first thing to go. We had the mugs, and the mugs are my absolute favorite. So, summer camp was one of our themes for the social, and they were ceramic, but they were like fireside mugs. They were camping mugs, really big, like 18 ounces, I think is what they are. And, speckled ceramic. So white was speckled, black throughout them, and escape logo on the front back. Not only was the mug just amazing, but working with that vendor, they were like super responsive. They wanted to make sure, they sent me like a couple mock-ups to make sure it's what we wanted. I sent them a file, and they were like, I sent them the Escape logo that had Escape Conference underneath it. And they're like, we really need a horizontal one. Like, you'll be happier if you do this way. So they like just giving us that insight. I will make sure that we say where everything came from, because they were really, really great to work with. Then I'm kind of like building up to everybody in this room knows what I'm building up to, but our, totes,
don't forget the candles.
Oh yeah, the candles. The candles were my favorite too. Gosh, I really did love. This was my baby, and it came to life. I'll do the candles first then. So.
Oh, and koozies. I feel like that's run of the mill though.
Yeah, run of the mill was koozies. We had ordered those before we decided to scrap everything.
Yeah.
Which I don't regret, because the one thing that they are is that they're the tall, skinny ones for the White Claws, and like White Claws are my jam. So I was really happy with the koozies.
Yeah, we got compliments on that.
Yeah, and it was funny. They were sitting out, and we hadn't really like explained the merch or gone over it. It was just out the whole time, and a couple of the attendees were like walking around with koozies, and I was like, like people are like, it was a cool reminder, because they were bright orange, so you couldn't miss them. So it was cool to be like, oh, people are paying attention, because we hadn't even talked about it yet. Until the experience gallery. So the candles were, they look like birthday candles, but they were tall, and they were in brand colors, and I put them in a sleeve with a little note on the back, and it said, you know, we celebrate big and like, let's celebrate big and small wins, because that's been something in our brand messaging that we've really pushed. Like, the little things oftentimes get overlooked, and, sometimes if you don't celebrate the small stuff, it feels like you never get to a big win. Once we explained that, we sold quite a few, because I don't think people at first, they were like, what is this? Like, it didn't sound like it made sense. But then we explained it, they were like, oh, that is so fun. And people got really into it. And then the totes, which, is kind of our, I don't know. I found the vendor, on a different platform on Etsy, and we couldn't afford them.
Well, actually, when you were looking on Fair and I was looking on Etsy, we chose the same bag separately.
Yeah.
Like, all of the vendors on Etsy, we both came up with the same product.
But before I found them on Fair, I had seen them on Etsy, and I was like, oh, like, this is what I want. But we couldn't
justify the cost.
We couldn't justify the cost, because we couldn't make profit off of it. Like, we could have sold them at cost, but then they were on Fair, and it like gave us just enough of a cushion that we could do it. And they're these beautiful, like, sturdy canvas bags with leather straps and a little leather tag
label,
and it just says ESC, like, super tasteful and modest. Like, they could use it for everyday bag and nobody would ever know, but we know like how curated and boutique that felt, and that felt like amazing. And then we had one of our attendees create patches for us. Or she create graphics.
Like iron-on.
Yeah, iron-on patches. Or she created the graphics, and we turned it into a patch. And it was Louisville-centered, because that's where the conference was. And it had, like, a banjo on it. It had bourbon, a disco ball, a horse for Derby Roses. Like, had all these things that make Louisville, Louisville. And it says Escape 2024 on it. And it even says Louisville on it. And all in our brand colors. And we got patches, the same amount of patches as we got bags. And the intention for those is that it'll be a gotta collect them all type of situation. So every conference that you come to or every retreat or, you know, anything that we do, we'll have a patch and you can iron on to your like really luxe feeling bag.
Spoiler alert, we got such great feedback on the merch and we loved curating our little boutique so much that we will be launching a little storefront online. So you can anticipate that coming soon.
I started getting nervous because nobody bought till the last day. And being the first conference, I was hoping that was the case, that people were just like holding out to decide what they wanted. We had sold like a t-shirt here and there and they were wearing them on the days of the conference, but it was really nice, that experience gallery and that, like, we pitched it like, go grab your purses because we had the artist there, the lip color and the merch. Like, that really gave them dedicated time to decide what they wanted to buy and decided how to shop. So I love that too.
Yeah.
So that wrapped up the experience gallery.
And then from the experience gallery, we had all of our attendees go get their laptops and any digital files they had that surrounded their financials, because the final masterclass was with Brittany Settle. She is the agency owner at Kinesis & Co. And she works with female small business owners to help females grow wealth. And it was just a like overload almost in a great way of financial information to be able to take in to implement into your business. She went over everything from
hiring tax children,
tax strategy, what the LLC versus difference between LLC versus S corp was, how to invest in your retirement account as an entrepreneur, hiring your kids, like literally
retirement, like everything. Making your business recession proof, that was like my specific question, because not just for myself, but a lot of the feedback that we got as we were like selling the Escape Conference was like, in this economy, like there was a lot. So for the people that were there, I knew that was, if it wasn't in the forefront, it was definitely running in the back of their minds. Like everybody was, you know, thinking through that. So
the best part about the masterclass is that there is a portion of that class that is like an implementation portion. And actually the discussion throughout the presentation was so good that we barely got to the implementation portion, but she gave us a workbook that we could use to, like it was like an Excel spreadsheet that you can say, these are my savings goals, these are my revenue goals, and then it like reverse engineers what you need to make in certain service offerings or product offerings in order to achieve that goal. So that was an incredible hour and a half that was like invaluable.
Allie cried during the financial.
Shut up.
You did. Like, she was, I'm saying that because like it was that impactful, and it was for Allie, it was one of those moments, and for me too, but like Allie never cries, never gets emotional, and she was just like, we're doing it, like this is what we've dreamed of, like this is, we've dreamed for a year, we've built this, like we, and it's really happening. And it was just, it was really cool. I think, you know, if we had a biggest problem when it came to speakers and panelists and all of that, is that it was so good, nobody wanted it to stop. And I think that's a great problem to have. Like, I said this a million times when we were doing it, but like, and I think I even said it on another day, but, you know, leave vacation when you're still having fun. And that's what happened. And everything was like, I mean, I don't even think Brittany got out of that room without being stopped with questions. Like, I don't think that she made it downstairs without more. And she was so receptive. And that was such a positive part of having the speakers staying there and eating with us and doing this. And all of them knew and were so, like, willing to continue the conversation. Yeah. And it was not like, oh, man, I wish I would have done this. Like, they had the time to regroup with her and to touch base with her after.
Well, two things I want to say about that. First of all, Brittany specifically came up to us and said, I just hope that I brought the value that you wanted me to bring to your audience.
She was so conscious, even like us. I think she said like specifically us. She was like, I know what it takes to build this. I want to make sure you guys got what you needed from me. Yeah. Like not just as a speaker, but like with the content. Like, did you, like she asked me, like, did I help you? And
like having the wherewithal, like, I don't know, just being that conscious of like how each person is consuming her content, was really thoughtful. I want to go into this a little bit more about the community that we have built and are still feeling. So we're about 6 weeks out from the conference as I record this, and something that I've noticed recently is how much the people that were at the Escape Conference, whether they were attendees or speakers, are all supporting each other. Like, I get online and there's a couple of Facebook groups that we're in, and when I get in there, like, and somebody's like, oh, I'm looking for this or I'm looking for that, like, everybody's recommending each other and everybody's like cheering each other on. Like, somebody is launching something recently, somebody's doing a retreat. Like, the comments are from our attendees and from our speakers, like, supporting each other. And I just can't get over it. And I'm still just so grateful.
And then the other thing that I want to say about that is, actually one of the attendees today, I think it maybe was last night, mentioned how there was no mean girl energy present, and that everyone was just very forthcoming about the information of their expertise, how there was no gatekeeping. And anytime you bring a group of close to 30 women together, like, there's always a chance.
There's usually a click.
Yeah. There's always a chance that that could happen.
Yeah.
But it didn't.
It didn't. There wasn't a single person. And I know I touched on this on the other recaps with, like, that first day and, like, leading into the rest of the conference, but just, like, looking back and just seeing everybody getting along, like, and so happily getting along, was something that, like, we've been kind of offline talking about how, like, some things aren't being talked about because it was so natural. Mm-hmm. It was nice to see somebody, like, say it out loud, like, the no mean girl energy. She like perfectly put it into words what I was witnessing and, like, soaking in, and, like, how good that felt. And
yeah, we were saying the things that go well often get overlooked, not necessarily in a bad way, but if it goes well, then no one knows how much went into making it, like, a well-oiled machine. Mm-hmm. Because it's a well-oiled machine.
Yeah.
But there were a lot of things that went well that could have quickly gone off the rails. So it's nice to know, like,
that people did notice.
Right.
Yeah. I think that, like, for our, not sanity, but, like, for our hearts, it was nice to know that, like, people did notice, even if they weren't necessarily, you didn't need to talk about it because it was just happening organically and it was beautiful and it was awesome. So, but I am appreciative that somebody said it. And then I was like, that's what I mean. Like, what I was witnessing, I couldn't quite put into words, like, why it felt so good. But, like, it felt so good because every single person had a seat at the table the whole time.
Right.
And that was exactly what we intended this to be.
Right.
So that was...
I feel like day three was a marathon. We've been talking about this for a long time because we still have...
The night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So... Night three theme was Disco Derby, mm-hmm. which was like a Louisville, Kentucky
showcase night.
Mm-hmm. And little known fact about Louisville, that they used to be the disco ball capital of the world. This is where all of the disco balls used to be made, including the hotel that we're staying in right now used to be a disco ball factory.
Which is so cool.
So everyone embraced the theme for the third and final night. We had lots of sequins, some cowboy boots,
and, like, florals. And so it was, like, romantic, but, like, still going out. Like, people really nailed it. My favorite was Abby from the Duo Collective. She wore a full maxi sequin skirt, but then, like, a graphic tee on top. Yeah. And it was, like, exactly what I had envisioned when I put out the attire guidelines mm-hmm. for Disco Derby. Like, it was like a chef's kiss. I was like, yes, you did it.
So we had Louisville themed food as well. We had fried green tomatoes and
hot browns,
brown casserole, mm-hmm. as well as derby pie for dessert. So everything was perfectly on theme.
And our gift bags for that night were also all derby themed. Louisville themed. So we had one of our attendees makes resin, like, keepsakes, and she made a resin goldenrod paperweight for each attendee, and a goldenrod is Kentucky State flower. And then we had a disco keychain,
a disco ball keychain that was made from one of my friends back home in Indiana. So, and then we worked with a woman whose name is Jacqueline, and her company is Giftwell, and she does she is a gift curator. So she came up with, and she's in Louisville. So she has relationships with a lot of local vendors. She knows the scene. So she did the, we had mint julep, lip gloss. We had, little bourbon ball chocolates. Mm-hmm. And then we had, Woodford Reserve mint julep syrup. And then one of our other favorites was, Bose. And, you tell us about those because she's one of your clients.
Yeah. So Sarah Stillwell of Grace and Granger makes Luxe Velvet, and velvet is like her specialty, but other materials as well, hair bows. And I've been shooting with her since probably close to 2 years now. She is one of my brand photography clients, and I do a lot of her product photography. And she was so gracious, because she is based out of the state of Kentucky, to sponsor the bows for our final night swag bags. And both of those, the bows that were given out were either hot pink or orange. So they were also in our brand colors, which was really cool.
Yeah. And everybody,
we had kind of dropped hints beforehand, because both Cassie and myself had worn hair bows the days prior.
Yeah, like separate times, different colors, but we were bow girlies for the whole conference at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was cool that in the end everybody got one of the bows. And we did, the day that we wore bows too, when we did our photo together.
The watercolor portrait.
No, not the watercolor portrait. When Abby did our pictures, like when we went down on the backdrop, we both had bows on that day, and we did like a little bow picture for Sarah, which was fun. And, so, but before we got to dinner, we had one surprise session for everybody.
No, that was after dinner.
Oh, it was
after dinner.
After dinner. Cause we had to, we had to set it up. So, we went back upstairs to where the conference had been, like the conference portions had been hosted, and we had set up, the social part of that night was called the Mastermind Mixer, which is the name of this podcast or my podcast. So, when we went upstairs, we had set it up as a podcast and brought in Chelsea Gilson. And she is my KY bucket list on Instagram. And she is a local content creator for Louisville, and, her account is influencer marketing. So we had asked everybody in their questionnaire, what questions they had about UGC and influencer marketing. Which now I know after the podcast that I was kind of interchangeably using those terms, and they are different. So we sat in a podcast with her for about 30 minutes and utilized the questions that the attendees had specifically asked, and hosted my first ever live podcast episode. And Allie was up there with me too. And we were just saying this morning before we started recording this, it was funny during that interview, I was telling her this season of the Mastermind Mixer, I had taken a break from scheduling interviews with people, mostly because of the season of life. I thought that I would be able to do it by myself and just do episodes by myself. And I learned that it was actually more of a burden for me. I actually really enjoy having a guest, and that solidified me. I felt like I was back in my element. It was the first interview I had done basically since my cancer diagnosis. So it was really fun to be back and be in front of people even. I really enjoyed that part. I love hearing myself say this as I sit 6 weeks post-conference, because I came home from the conference and completely reconfigured the structure of how I do my interviews, the workflow associated with my podcast, and having guests on, and all of that was propelled by the live interview with Chelsea at the Escape Conference. And I just did my first interview for season 4 yesterday. So this is super fun for me to hear me say how excited it made me, because it was true and it really did propel me forward. And the conference worked, you guys, it worked. So we did that, and then we went down at the first night. We had everybody write their intentions on a wine bottle or a champagne bottle. And we had those out for them, and we popped those, and when we popped those, we announced the escape retreat for this October. So the escape retreat is October 11th to the 14th. It's just outside of Charlotte. The Airbnb sits on a lake called Lake Wiley. And we got to tell them that we'd been dropping all of these Easter eggs throughout the entire conference. So that was really fun. I do have a question for you, Claire. I want to know, like, behind the curtain, what happened between the podcast and when we came down for champagne? Because I remember everybody seemed frazzled. Do you remember if anything happened?
It was just I think we expected
more time. Yeah. Yeah,
because we ate, and then we were starting to set up for the evening, and
we were there.
And you were there, yeah.
I see.
I think it was just, like, not knowing you were coming down, or there was no text to say, wrapping it up, it's finished.
Oh, yeah.
Do you need 5 minutes, or whatever? And we heard voices, and we were in the middle of finishing setting something up, and then it turned into frazzle, because we were...
Yeah,
we didn't realize.
I knew something was going on, but, like, I had
normally no idea. We had been pretty good at communication.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I think because we were on the, like,
we were
the live
both.
Podcast
it was live, and we were both on.
Yeah,
it.
How would you have been on your
It
phone?
Should have been an Angelica thing. In hindsight, we should have had Angelica the moderator.
Yeah,
touching base with you guys.
Or Fawn or something being up there, and
of
our helpers.
All three of you were downstairs, you could, like, and the two of us were art
or something.
Yeah, yeah. And there was nothing.
Yeah,
because I just remember coming down and, like, Fawn.
It just took us by
turns. Fawn, Mom, and Claire all seemed, like, angry. They were like, "How dare you?" And it felt very "How dare you?" And I had no idea what was going. Like, I didn't know what had happened.
And I looked at the tables and I was like, where's the champagne?
Right, like, I went back upstairs, and it felt like I wasn't accusing. I didn't know. I thought there was a fire. Like, I didn't know what had happened, because it was so frazzled, and it makes sense now to just, like, you guys were like, we were eating. Like,
we're eating, and they were like, okay, let's get this.
And there had been, like, how many minutes do you need? Like,
let's do all that. And we were also still, along with setting up, we were, like, cleaning up
from dinner. Yeah.
So... there was that.
I came down the stairs because I cut through our room. Like, the way that we had two ways to come out, and I came out through our room, and the attendees came out the other way. When I came out down the stairs from our room, I met Fawn, and Fawn was holding dinner, and I was like, oh no. Like, something has happened.
And me and Cassie even had a conversation, like, okay, Cassie, you cut down the front staircase and I'll bookend everybody and kind of,
yeah, like, she
to
and
get
I
get them out quicker.
Yeah, we were pushing it out.
Oh, good. That's what we did.
We were, like,
faster.
Because people wanted to talk to Chelsea more, like, after, we were, like, offline. And we were like, we'll carry this out. Chelsea, come with us.
That's right, she came out.
We told her to come with us instead of just, like, okay, like, we're offline now.
It was very much, it felt like we were walked in with our pants down. That's what it felt like. I was, like, holding a Cheval shoe. Like, I was just setting up a backdrop.
I know.
I was like, and that's why with the flowers, I was like, do we even do it now?
Yeah.
Because, like,
everybody had already seen everything.
It felt very weird.
Yeah.
And because also you guys were about, like, there was a big deal going on afterwards. There was a plan with the champagne. Everyone put the champagne.
Yeah, the announcement
that.
For the retreat.
Yeah, and
yeah.
I was like,
this is what
I exactly, like, putting flowers in shoes. Like, I don't know. I think we just nixed it.
Yeah, Yeah, I wanted to talk about that because it was just, I remember the energy coming down and the three of you who had been, like, Johnny on the fucking spot. Oh my God, you guys. I've had a fake eyelash on this whole... I just rubbed my eye and a fake eyelash came off.
No way.
I have felt like my eyelash felt weird on that side. Yeah, clearly at this point, I was not worried about, like, you guys knowing what was happening behind and just being like, oh, well, I'll talk about this offline. So you're welcome. Okay, well, anyway.
Oh my God.
So, yeah, when I came down, you guys had been, like, so good that I was like, oh, what?
I'm like, what the fuck is happening?
I remember turning to your mom.
And then Allie's like, we are not deviating away from the plan. Like,
I mean, I can imagine your shock turning the corner, too, because our shock, I looked at your mom and I went, Are you guys, you have been voices?
No, I came downstairs and someone asked me where the champagne was. I don't remember who it was, and I was like, what the fuck do you mean? Where's the champagne?
Wait, it's not on the tables?
It should be. It was on the tables. It was.
Yeah, what we've learned about our communication skills is that when Allie is in the moment, she has to like put on a face and then we unpack it later. Where I'm like, just, I have to spill my guts, and I have to learn not to spill my guts to Allie so that I don't stress her out. But I was probably the one that was like, where's the champagne, Allie? Because, like, I have to say it out loud.
I take a beat and, like, go through the files in my head. Like, it's literally like a filing cabinet in there. And we hadn't touched the champagne bottles since we put them in our refrigerator on Monday night.
Right.
So it took me, like...
You had to... That's what you were processing.
It took files. Me about 15 seconds to go through the files to Monday. Remember where we put the champagne bottles.
And I was saying it. I knew exactly.
15 seconds is a long pause.
I knew exactly where the champagne bottles were, but I meant it like rhetorically. Like, oh, where are the champagne bottles? Like,
they're not here.
I'm spewing facts, and you're like,
I know. You're like, well, actually, they are upstairs in the refrigerator.
Like, it's rhetorical, Allie.
On the right hand.
They're not on the table.
Like, you know that. So, yeah, I just remember the energy of the three of you, and knowing that that whole time you had been so, like, you'd been killing yourselves to make sure that everything was perfectly set up along the way. So when I walked out, I was like, oh, something happened. Like, I was like, worried, because, like, it had been so weird. But it makes so much more sense that, like, you're right. Like, every other point, you had gotten a heads up, like, 5 minutes, or, like, we were on a group text, like, while people were speaking, being like, okay, like, here's what's happening next. Like, and we were just both tied up during a live something. Like, we couldn't...
Yeah, you couldn't get away.
No. And it would have been weird to be like, boop, 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 like, texting.
Weird and rude.
Yeah, like, it just would have been... And I did warn Chelsea, because I had her questions pulled up on my phone, so I guess, like... I just hadn't thought about it. And I honestly was, like, really nervous about the live performance. It felt like a performance.
And it's so funny that the things that Cassie and I are nervous about are always opposite.
Yeah.
I was so nervous about the experience gallery and how it was all going to come together. And Cassie's like, easy breezy. Set it up here and flip it around there.
Like, we'll just screw a bookshelf together, like, in the moment. It'll be fine.
It'll take 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times you said that.
Because you kept talking about it.
It's going to take 5 minutes.
It took us 5 minutes to get that bookshelf screwed together. Facts.
But then I'm like, easy breezy. It's a podcast interview. Like, we do this all the time.
I know.
And but it's just like, I don't know about the podcast interview. We got to retest and test and retest the audio.
I was worried about it just because, but, like,
I had no qualms, no anxiety about that at all.
And I think, and a lot of it, I think, was just I've been in my head because I haven't been as consistent in getting my podcast episodes out. And when I have gotten them out, they have felt rushed and unorganized. And I really do think that it was, like, that live just solidified that I do my best when I'm interviewing somebody. Like, I...
Yeah, you feed off other people.
I do. Yeah. I do. So, like, and it doesn't feel like a chore.
It feels and organic.
In the past couple months, the podcast has felt like a chore. So thinking about doing it live felt daunting.
Right.
And just getting up there, and Chelsea was, like, prepared. Even though, like it was fairly last minute that like we knew we were going to do a live podcast, but, like, nailing down who we were going to interview. It couldn't have gone better. Like, I was really happy with the content that she brought. She was, like, totally open to sharing everything, like, numbers, her work-life balance, like, anything that we asked her, she was willing to.
She was an open book.
Yeah, she really was. And that, like, and it's interesting because her brand online is not herself. Like, she's branded behind a logo. But it was somehow, like, the stars aligned and we got another person into the fold that was just like the rest of us. And that felt really cool.
Yeah.
And same with, the Giftwell,
Jacqueline,
when we met her, she met us in a parking lot to give us everything. And by the end of it, we were like, do you want to come to the conference? Like, we loved her. Like, she was so supportive. We ended up texting her, inviting her to come to the last night. And she was like, I'm out of town, but, like, I love what you guys are doing. I'm so proud of you. Like, the amount of times people told us that they were proud of us was so nice. Like, it was, like, everything I never knew I needed. Like, you know? So it was really cool. So so the champagne. Everybody got their bottles. We gathered around a circle. We gave a little, like, thank you speech for coming.
And then on our champagne bottle.
Yeah, on our champagne bottle, we had written, or Claire had written, ESC Retreat 2024. And I think you put a tint on it. Yeah, she like, I went upstairs and Claire was sitting on a couch and she had like a graphic pulled up and I go, what are you doing? She's like, trying to teach myself how to draw a tint. And she was like writing it on the champagne bottle. And we announced, we shared all the Easter eggs. We brought it in for a cheers and got a photo of that and then popped our bottle and drank
out of the attendees
sprayed us with champagne. Yeah, and we took a drink out of the bottle, like passed it between the two of us, and the DJ was there. We had a DJ for the last night and kicked off dancing, and we all went, like, talk about not in the plan, we all went and put on PJs.
Was that our final group photo?
Yeah, we did a final group photo all dressed up, and everybody got pictures together with like who they had met, all dressed up and like in their fancy dresses and fancy outfits.
One of the attendees came up to, I don't know if they did to you, but came up to me and was like, will it like mess things up if we go put our PJs on and get comfy? And then after that, one domino fell and everyone went, got their PJs on and came back down, and we
party.
Dance our ass off.
Yeah, we were dancing on tables. We were like,
what's a Soul Train line?
Yeah, we did a Soul Train line. We were like constantly in a circle, just like dancing and drinking.
And somebody was in the center.
Yes, like we just dance and dance and dance. And then we ended the night at going one last time through our speakeasy door into the bourbon bar, and
one of Cassie's favorite things probably.
Was I set up my phone at the speakeasy door was down the hallway, like an outdoor hallway is the best I can describe it. And when I just set up, I set up my phone and I made everybody dance into the bar, and the video is hilarious, and it is something that probably will never see the light of day.
What?
You think it will? I feel like we need to like get permission from those within the video.
Well, permission granted.
Yeah, permission granted for me too. It like brought me so much joy.
Even if it's just the part of us two dancing down the hallway and you jerking me into the door because I was standing in the way of the video.
I was like, don't ruin my video.
But it's like very visibly like me.
Oh yeah, I jerked with some force. Then we like posted it up at a table, we DoorDashed Taco Bell, and we had one last drink that we only got around that night, and then went back, packed up the next day like a whirlwind. Actually, what was happening behind the scenes is that my mom and Claire had done 90% of the packing for us. We never would have gotten out there without them there.
We woke up in the morning and the U-Haul trailer was packed.
It's Matt. It was Matt. So I was talking to one of the attendees after the speakeasy bar, and we were sitting in the area where we were calling like behind the curtain, like the storage space. And I looked over when we were sitting there and I was like, they packed it all. And I said it out loud. I was like, holy crap. Like it was.
And I think because we had rearranged so much furniture that I forgot what the space looked like when we first got there and how much we had transformed it.
Yeah.
So like as those pieces were coming back together, like for example, we had some big, like I think poolside plastic storage containers that were probably like 2 feet deep.
Yeah.
And 4 feet wide, like long.
Right.
And we had used those sort of as a barrier and for storage for the bar. So like when everything started getting pushed back up against the wall where it was supposed to be, it was
we're like, oh, we really made this our thing.
Our space.
Yeah.
And throughout the event, the owner came and was there every day, like helping take out trash and sweeping up.
They were lovely. Like as far as
the
staff there, they were lovely. And like the owner did not need to be there, but he was there like promptly between 7 and 8 every morning, like leaf blowing the courtyard area to make sure it was like clean. We had overpacked the trash cans on the first night, which was also the day that we unloaded. And when we unloaded, I had some like pink touch-up paint for the phone booth because again, it took a lot like till the very last second, and it had spilled, and we had put it in the trash can, and the trash bag ripped, and pink paint got on the sidewalk. And when I came downstairs for yoga that first morning, he was like scrubbing the sidewalk to get the pink paint off, and like did not complain about it. He was like, "No worries, no worries." He was like so nice. So that's how like we after that point we started like rotating the trash cans because the ones that were closest to the bar were the ones that kept filling up the fastest. So like this was all like things that we were learning. But he was so happy every time.
He was so inquisitive about what we were doing.
Yeah,
not in like a what are you doing on my property way, like how can I support you way.
Yeah, and there were some things that
we didn't realize when we booked there, because we booked for the exclusivity, like we wanted the privacy. What we learned, we knew the speakeasy door was for us. What we didn't know is that the bar's restock area is inside that courtyard. So before attendees arrived, we had some staff walking through there that we didn't anticipate, and we brought that to the attention of the owner, and he made sure it didn't happen for the whole time that the conference went on after that, which, I mean, just speak, like, the level of customer service that we had with the venue was amazing. Like, they gave us extra towels when we needed extra towels. They did everything. So
a microwave breaker flipped and we couldn't find the breaker box. They came within the hour.
Within an hour, there was somebody there to flip the breaker.
Yeah.
And then the Wi-Fi, this is the one that is wild to me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, in a normal circumstance, like, your Wi-Fi goes down and then it's like, oh, it'll be 3 to 5 business days before somebody can be there. The Wi-Fi, we had a really unexpected, crazy hailstorm.
I think we talked
about the hailstorm, but what did we talk about the Wi-Fi going out and the tech being there within 2 hours and fixing it?
I don't know about that.
Yeah, like, I kept being like, does he just have these people on retainer? Like, how is he just getting these techs here so quickly? So, if, like, and they book for, like, private stuff, too. They book suite by suite. You didn't have to rent the whole thing. So I would highly recommend that space. It was so cool. It was fun, Instagrammable. You know, it was everything that we could have asked for. And then you add on how good the customer service was.
Mm-hmm.
And the hospitality side of it was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to reiterate how amazing the staff at the Bungalow were. They were Johnny on the spot. We had a couple other things that happened with, like, just, I don't know, like random things. And they were all available all the time. And even since we've left, I have communicated with the owner and the booking manager because we have some other people interested in the Bungalow after seeing us stay there. And they've just been so nice and so kind.
We'll drop, like, all the details of everybody that made this happen and made it happen well.
Yeah.
The next morning we got up, they were gracious enough to let us store luggage for anybody that was flying out later. And we wanted to just have, like, co-working space for those that didn't fly out until later in the day, because checkout was at 10 in the morning. And we'd originally picked a place. We hadn't put a ton of thought into it, but it looked trendy. It was right down the street. But a couple of the attendees had arrived early, unbeknownst to us, and had gone to a different place, and they had a really nice outdoor patio. So they collectively just, like, on their own got together and decided to go to a different place. And then were nice enough to send us the link to be like, hey, we're actually all here. So we got packed up, in, like, the nick of time. We were a little bit over time, but again, like, they were just really great about, they saw that we weren't, like, slacking. Like, we were trying to get out as fast as possible. We got out.
And we kind of worked together with them to, like, clear out certain suites so that they could start their,
yeah,
their,
like, the housekeeping staff was, like, staging linens outside the rooms.
Yeah.
And then when we would give them the clear that we had gone through the rooms, they were moving in right behind us. And because it was such a big space, it was nice. Like, the last room, which had, like, all of our, like, leftover stuff, that was the last room to be touched by them, which gave us the opportunity to get everything out. So
yeah. Actually, the one that I forgot to look at, the suite, because that was, like, separated from everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot to look in that to get everything out of the fridge and everything. And I overheard one of the cleaning staff members that was like, oh, this room's gonna be such an easy flip. So
they felt like, good.
Yeah.
Good, that makes me feel better. Like
I didn't do that much. I was just getting the fruit off the counter
and the stuff out of the fridge.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I say it makes me feel so much better, because no matter what, like, when you have, like, 25 to 30 people in one space, like, you know, I saw, like, scuffs on some of the floors. Like, there's just, like, stuff like that that's going to happen. Like, Allie and I both manage a couple Airbnbs. Like, we know that this is normal. But I was still, like, very conscious of, like, leaving it like we found it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice to hear that you heard that. So we went to the co-working. There were 2 full tables. Everybody had their laptops out. They were, like, genuinely co-working, talking business, talking shop. And we sat at a separate table. And I refused to talk business or shop. Like, I just wanted one meal where we didn't have to talk about, like, what was next or how things were going to work or our thoughts and feelings on how things went. Like, I just wanted one meal. And my mom was nice enough to buy for us, which...
Oh, I know. I don't even know that I actually verbally thanked
her. Yeah, I don't know if I did either. I thought about it as I was falling asleep last night. Like, it was... She just handled it, which was really nice. And we got her on the road. And then the three of us came and checked into the hotel. Yeah. And here we are now. So... That's that on Escape Conference 2024.
We escaped. Gotta go back to reality.
Yeah. But reality, like, again, now that I feel some rest, like, I'm kind of ready for reality. Yeah, like, it feels, too. I feel good about it. I'm like,
like you said very aptly, it's like we have the bones and now we just have to...
It's a drag and drop.
Yeah, exactly. We have to put the meat on it. But yeah. Other than that, it's, those are the fun, creative things. The bones are the hard part.
Right.
But that's there now. So anytime we want to tailor the experience gallery or tweak a speaking engagement, like, right. That's it.
Right. And we know what it looks like. So we know, like, a lot of it was just like, we think it'll look like this.
Right.
But, like, now we know what it feels and what it looks like, and we can tweak accordingly and adjust appropriately. And, mm-hmm. I also just want to say, like, thank you to both of you. We, dove into this head first over a year ago. And we made it. And through it all, we were like, there was not, you know how easy it would have been, like, just as minor as recording these recaps every night, how easy it would have been to say no from either of you and me. Like, it would have been so easy to be like, are you kidding? And we weren't. All of us were like, plug it in. Like, let's do it. And that's like, and all of us like let go of it needing to be like perfect settings. And we're like, we don't care if the audio shit, like, we don't care. Like, let's just plug it in. Let's get it all out of our brains so that we have it. And now we have it. And that feels great. Like, that's, I feel great about that.
Again, I think we mentioned this on the first episode, but it was all at the urge from one of our attendees who's a podcast, has her own podcast producing agency.
Yeah. Like, she looked at us while we were at the speakeasy bar the first night and she was like, you're recording a recap tonight, right?
And
we're like, yes, we are. I love that's how we ended it. We were just like, and we just did it. And we did do it. And that is the end of the Escape Conference recaps. But before I get into all the details of what's to come for the Mastermind Mixer and for Escape Conference content and all that, I think this is a perfect opportunity to tell you that the attendee who told us to record these episodes was Haley Gaffin. And we are now in her countdown to her Mic Check Retreat, which is a retreat for podcasters where she covers monetizing and building your authority and understanding tech and, you know, just all of those things. So next week she'll be hosting 10 podcasters in Chattanooga and just helping them enhance their podcast. And she did help enhance ours. And we just really appreciate her time. And we know, Haley, that your podcast is going to be incredible. And we're so excited to see all of your content. We even wanted to go and we got really busy and slept on it and missed our opportunity. She didn't have any more tickets available when we were finally like, oh yeah, we can do it. So we'll get you next time, girl, because you know your stuff. So thanks, Haley, and thank you all for being here. This is the final episode of season 3 of the Mastermind Mixer. I'm super appreciative that you are all here, and we will be kicking off season 4 on June 20th, which is the first day of summer. So let's dive into summer. Let's get our businesses right every Thursday. And as far as what's to come for the Escape Conference and just escape events, we have our retreat coming up in October from October 11th to the 14th, just outside of Charlotte in York. We're going to be on a beautiful lake, goal planning for 2025. Auditing our businesses, auditing our systems, and it is going to be super impactful. And we are so driven to make sure that when you walk away, you have tangible things to reach your goals in 2025. And we only have 3 tickets available. So now's the time. You can find all the details in the show notes on how to book your ticket. Talk to you guys soon. Cheers.
As my son would say, did it! You just completed another episode of the Ali Ray Haney Show. If you found this helpful, please rate, review, and subscribe to help others find this show and so you never miss an episode. Take a look at the show notes for all the resources mentioned in today's episode. Let's continue the conversation over in my private Facebook group, the Allie Rae Haney Show Insiders. See you next Wednesday. And as always, I'm here cheering you on as you build your dream brand and business.